The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
Great minds throughout the ages have spoken of the blind, empire-serving false patriotism that is so easily programmed into the masses. Here's a quote from Siegfried Sassoon that gives us a solid dose of reality. "You smug-faced crowds with kindling eye, who cheer when soldier lads march by, sneak home and pray you'll never know the hell where the youth and laughter go." Our government treats military veterans with complete contempt. If the population is largely ignoring this fact and is thus pretending it isn't so, are they behaving in a way that is any better than our government? Why do so many still sign up to serve the military-industrial juggernaut of destruction and insanity? Today, an in-depth report on the U.S. Empire's treatment of our veterans, and indeed of the population as a whole, while the mainstream media machine of mass distraction continues to program populations with wave after wave of propaganda and lies, while the planet and its life support systems are collapsing. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to Global Alert News for November 25th, 2017. This is a commercial-free news hour program brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, 105.7 FM, on Saturday mornings from 6 AM to 7 and from Sunday mornings from 7 AM to 8. Global Alert News is also broadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Other networks are picking up the show. My thanks to them for that. We provide this for free. We ask for nothing. We simply want to get the word out, to sound the alarm while we can yet make a difference as we descend into uncharted territory on planet Earth. Quick announcement, Orchard Nutrition, if you're in the Redding, Shasta County area, free materials are there. I do my best to keep Orchard stocked up with enough materials to pass on to any who are willing to look at the truth and to share that truth with others. Staunch ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering, the Jim Fair Group, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. Look it up. Learn about them. They're an incredibly powerful ally in the fight to stop geoengineering. Their next event now, happening now in Monterey, California, November 25th and 26th at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Geoengineeringwatch.org booth is there. There's free materials there. Get what you need to help sound the alarm. Next weekend's event for Jim Fair. Encourage anyone in the area to show up. Do your part. Help us to spread awareness. Costa Mesa, California, December 1st through December 3rd at the Orange County Fair and Event Center. The weekend after that, December 8th through 10th, Santa Barbara, California, at the Earl Warren Showgrounds. Look up Jim Fair. Attend their event if you're able. Get free materials. Help us to wake the masses while we can still salvage what is yet left of Earth's life support systems. A few updates and important headlines before in-depth reports on the threats our vets face from the government they served. Do populations face the same fate in the end? First, let's cover this. How's the weather around the world? It's continuing to disintegrate with ever more violent weather whiplash extreme scenarios from record highs to record lows and back again. This is primarily a result of highly toxic geoengineered cooldowns being carried out by a ever more desperate power structure on a rapidly warming world. If you want to know more about the engineered cooldowns and the weather whiplash scenarios they create, go to geoengineeringwatch.org and search for answers on our search bar. You can search anything, geoengineeringwatch.org engineered winter, geoengineeringwatch.org engineered snowstorms, geoengineeringwatch.org chemical ice nucleation. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of articles on our site. You just need to look for them. Learn what you didn't know. Share that with others. In regard to the chemical ice nucleation and engineered cooldowns, I just returned from snow sample testing on the side of Mount Shasta. And some very interesting results there. We're still investigating those results, and I'll publish more on that soon. But what is certain is this. The climate engineers have patented technology to chemically ice nucleate weather systems, causing rain or precipitation that should have fallen in liquid form to fall in frozen form. And that chemical nucleation process, that endothermic reaction that is caused, the energy absorbing reaction, can create short-term toxic cool downs at the surface, a cool dense layer of air that makes it feel cold on the surface, while at higher altitudes in the atmosphere, the air is warm and getting warmer rapidly. And we know this from pilots that I communicate with, commercial and private. This is an illusion of winter on a planet that is descending into total meltdown, with climate engineering helping to fuel the fire. And for those who think climate engineering, and I see this all the time, they convince themselves that climate engineering is the only problem with the planet. And that is not a rational conclusion to come to. We simply have to consider that anything, everything, every form of human activity that affects the environment and the energy balance of the planet has to affect the climate. It's many, many things that are disintegrating our biosphere. That being said, the willful attempt to engineer Earth's climate is the greatest assault of all. It's the one we should focus on first, primarily. But it's important to stand on credible ground. And for those who have convinced themselves that the only problem with the climate is climate engineering, that's completely irrational. The atmosphere doesn't know the difference between a particle from a smokestack or the back of a jet aircraft that's being sprayed. It doesn't know the difference. When the forests are cut down, when the oceans are poisoned, when the planet is paved, all of that has an effect. So let's stand on credible ground so the climate science community may join us in the effort in the most critical battle of all to expose and halt climate engineering. But more details to come on the snow testing from the side of Mount Shasta. Full lab tests are being done now again with more extensive testing. I'll publicize those tests once they're available. In regard to climate engineering, the fallout from climate engineering, we must remember this. Every single breath we take, we are breathing in what the climate engineers are spraying. And consider how much material it takes to blot out the entire sun. A tremendous amount of material, enough material to actually alter the soil pH values on the forest floors. And we are breathing in every bit of it. It's affecting our neurological function. It's affecting our health overall, triggering a cascading effect of human disease. It's too long to go into here. And we're starting to get some headlines to allude to that. But what other effects are now just beginning to come to light? Here's a headline. Air pollution may cause infertility for a significant number of couples, warn scientists. Why is this a surprise? And are we to think this is not serving those in power to curb populations in whatever way they can? Are we naive enough to think that they wouldn't be doing this? We have statistics, for example, from vaccinations from Africa. We have all these quote-unquote aid organizations that we see on the mainstream media encouraging us to give our money to them while they're vaccinating children in Africa, claiming to be protecting them. When the statistics for vaccinations from Africa have just proven, peer-reviewed study has just proven that the vaccinated kids in Africa are 5 times more likely to die in the first 5 months. And we're, quote, helping them? Time to see through the facade. Now, in regard to geoengineering, and I'll get to the veteran abuse momentarily, because that fits into the scheme of everything that's happening. But here's a headline from the MIT Technology Review publication. For those that are not familiar with who MIT is, that's the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Here's the headline. GOP embraces geoengineering, which terrifies geoengineering researchers. Now, we have to read between the lines here because there are many falsehoods in all such mainstream articles that pretend geoengineering isn't already happening. From this report, Congressman Lamar Smith, who has relentlessly disputed the science behind climate change, now argues there may be ways to avoid the dangers of climate change without overhauling America's energy system. Quote, he said this, as the climate continues to change, geoengineering could become a tool to curb resulting impacts, the Texas Republican said in his prepared opening remarks for a Wednesday subcommittee hearing on geoengineering. This is a report that many have seen, but this report from MIT is new. Congressman Lamar Smith continues with this. Geoengineering is a blanket term for various technological means, of deliberately altering the climate to offset the risks of global warming. He continues stating this: instead of forcing unworkable and costly government mandates on the American people, we should look to technology and innovation to lead the way to address climate change. He added, let's consider what Lamar Smith stated here, that in no way does he think we should stop doing business as usual, even though it's killing the planet by the day, and climate engineering a part of that, which he's not admitting to. But this mentality that we must keep the current paradigm alive, the perpetual expansion, growth, looting, pillaging, plundering, polluting on a finite planet with finite resources. We wouldn't want to change that, would we, Mr. Smith? So instead, you will advocate geoengineering, as he has, in spite of the fact that he claims the climate isn't warming, which we all know these people don't believe. They don't believe it. They know better. But it's their job to toe the line and convince a huge percentage of the population that doesn't want to face the truth to begin with, to convince them that everything's fine. Go back to sleep. What did Mr. Bush tell us after 9/11, the false flag event carried out by so many people within our government and others? Just go shopping. Just go buy more, consume more. And this is the same mentality we have from this Texas congressman who, although he refuses to acknowledge the planetary meltdown, claims that climate engineering will fix it. And climate engineering is much more than climate engineering, by the way. We all know that. It's biological warfare. It's weather warfare. It's so many other things on top of that. So let's continue with this report. Researchers in the field have expressed growing concerns that the Trump administration or the Republican Party generally might attempt to do exactly what Smith's remarks suggest, embrace geoengineering as a, quote, technological fix that sidesteps the need to slash greenhouse gas emissions or change the energy industry's practices, business as usual. And think of the absurdity of this report and so many others from mainstream media pretending that climate engineering isn't already going on and hasn't been for many, many decades. Pretending that somehow our government would ask our permission before they would engage in this, which is an utterly absurd notion. Our government doesn't ask permission for anything they do. Blowing up pristine islands in the South Seas, detonating 2,000 nuclear bombs, they do whatever they want. Why? Because a huge percentage of the American population is willing to blindly wave their flags in support of the empire, as I alluded to in the beginning of this program. Final statements from this report. In fact, scientists who have explored the potential of geoengineering techniques like stratospheric injection. What does that mean for those that don't know? Cloud brightening and cloud seeding. It means aircraft spraying particulates into the sky exactly as we see day in and day out, exactly as the population has been so well trained to ignore. Well trained to ignore because they don't want to face the truth to begin with. Continuing from the report, and cloud seeding have consistently stressed that at best these untested methods, which is a blatant lie, could reduce climate impacts on a limited scale while providing additional time to transition away from fossil fuels. This is all a lie. Geoengineering has been going on for 70 years. Final paragraphs in this report, but among other issues, researchers still don't know how well geoengineering would work or what negative side effects might be, which is also a lie. How long have we been reporting on that in geoengineeringwatch.org? The decimating effects of climate engineering. Geoengineering would also do little to address other massive effects of climate change, such as ocean acidification, would do nothing to address that. It only makes it worse, and it only has made it worse because it's real and ongoing. Final statements from this report, again, from MIT. Geoengineering is not a silver bullet, and treating it as one could greatly increase already severe climate risks, warn a group of 20 prominent scientists. Again, I speak about this often because it's hard to ignore. 20 prominent scientists, all of whom are lying for the power structure by pretending that climate engineering isn't real and ongoing. The total betrayal of the human race and the web of life by the academic community. During his appearance at MIT Technology Review's InTech conference on Tuesday, Harvard professor David Keith, speak of him often, warned about almost this exact eventuality. He said, were the GOP to embrace geoengineering technologies, a fragile coalition between scientists in this field and major environmental groups that have tentatively supported additional research could disintegrate, Keith said. There's a tool of mass deception if ever there was. Dr. David Keith, who I can't imagine how twisted and demented he is, and Ken Caldera, another Stanford doctor who toes the line for the power structure by hiding the climate engineering crimes, and it's up to all of us to expose people like David Keith and Ken Caldera. And you can look them both up online, you can find their contacts online, and you should contact them. Dr. David Keith and Dr. Ken Caldera. And peacefully, professionally, but firmly explain to them that when the public wakes up to the part they have played in covering up the climate engineering crimes, I can only imagine that public will hold them legally and morally responsible. And they should be told this, not in a threatening way, but in a matter-of-fact way, because that's how it should be, in Nuremberg-type trials. Final statement from this report. In some ways, the thing we fear the most, this is from David Keith, is a tweet from Trump saying, solar geoengineering solves everything, it's great, we don't need to bother to cut emissions, said Keith, a signatory to the letter who has also done extensive research on the potential of geoengineering. Just spoke about Keith, but consider this, the orchestrated divisive dramas by mainstream media, including MIT, pretending geoengineering is not going on, David Keith pretending he's really worried about what Trump does when he knows already the geoengineering is going on, and Trump pretending it's not going on already, playing his part in the orchestrated divisive dramas. All of these people are actors in the power structure play, all of them. So let's consider that the Trump administration, who adamantly denies global warming, is in complete support of climate engineering, geoengineering, solar radiation management programs, as needed to mitigate global warming, which again the Trump administration says doesn't exist in the first place. In regard to the ongoing atmospheric aerosol spraying assault and the devastating radio frequency microwave transmissions that are used in conjunction with the aerosol spraying, this point must always be remembered and considered. There are many agendas being carried out in our skies, many. Any black and white simplistic thinking must be abandoned. I hear from so many people, geoengineering is just this. Or it's just that. No, it's this and that and countless other agendas, not a simple equation. Don't discredit this cause by pretending that there is some simple, single motive being carried out. That's not the case. It's not reality. On that note, as far as what's happening in our skies and the other agendas that are a part of that, let's consider this. In addition to climate engineering and weather warfare, which is also biological warfare, what else might the massively powerful microwave transmission facilities like HARP, which there's 80-plus large ground-based facilities around the globe, what else might they be used for? Consider this. Is this a warning from the climate science community who are towing the line for the power structure? The climate science community that is tasked with programming the population into believing environmental events that are being triggered with incredibly destructive environmental modification weapons are somehow natural when they are not natural. Here's the headline from RT TV News. Huge earthquakes in 2018 will put up to 1 billion people at risk, scientists say. From that report, scientists warn that fluctuations in the speed of Earth's rotation could trigger a swarm of devastating earthquakes across the globe, particularly in heavily populated tropical regions. How would they know this? Think about that. And in when they try to ignore the verifiable mechanisms being used by the human race on the planet that are known to be responsible for this type of event, seismic events, like the ionosphere heaters that are bouncing incredibly powerful radio frequency microwave transmissions off of the now electrically conductive atmosphere, thanks to geoengineering spraying, and then directing that signal back down into Earth's strata, incredibly powerful, concentrated, combined signals from multiple sources being directed down into Earth's strata that are known to cause seismic activity. And we have groups of scientists that completely ignore this activity, pretending it isn't happening, and then blaming what's happening on a natural occurrence. This is wrong. This is total betrayal by the climate science community. So for those who want to pretend that unimaginably powerful environmental modification weapons are not being used, you're a part of the problem. If you're pretending this isn't happening, you're a part of the problem. And that's what makes reports like this completely false. But is it a prediction? Because they are being told what to say by the power structure to program the population into accepting what happens, even in the case of seismic activity, as being completely natural, a natural process, which is no longer the case. Continuing from the report, Roger Bilham of the University of Colorado in Boulder and Rebecca Bindick of the University of Montana in Missoula presented their findings published earlier this year at an annual meeting of the Geological Society of America in October. Their contention is that the minuscule variations in rotations that will change the length of the day by approximately a millisecond could create massive shifts in energy beneath the planet's surface. The theory goes that the slowdown creates a shift in shape of Earth's solid iron and nickel inner core, which in turn impacts the liquid outer core, which the tectonic plates that form Earth's crust rest on. Now, here's total conjecture on a change in Earth's rotation that is smaller than a millisecond, while they're ignoring known cause and effect factors on the surface of the Earth. The ionosphere heaters, again, that what happens when you microwave something for an extended time in the oven? It will blow up. And when you concentrate these signals into a seismically sensitive zone, it does create seismic activity. This is scientifically documented. So are we being given a warning from the science community that we are going to face severe seismic disruptions next year? It sounds like that, doesn't it? And they base that on some completely unproven and very flimsy theory while ignoring a known cause and effect from environmental weapons that exist now and are being used by governments all over the globe. Total betrayal from the climate science community or the science community and a population all too willing to accept whatever narrative they're given, just like 9/11, a population accepting that three steel structure high-rise buildings collapsed in a single day when none had ever collapsed ever before or since in the history of high-rise buildings, but the largest governmental science institution, NIST, National Institute for Science and Technology, told the official lie, the official narrative on the first two buildings, never mentioned anything about the third building, which it's amazing how many people don't even know about. Huge groups of scientists blatantly lying for the power structure because that's what they're paid to do. So let's see what happens with seismic activity next year when we've been given a warning now by the science community itself. Here's a headline that goes with that. 134 earthquakes within 5 kilometers along the San Andreas Fault after a magnitude 4.6 from that report. Last week's widely felt quake was centered 13 miles northeast of Gonzales along the San Andreas Fault. Since then, there have been 134 earthquakes within 5 kilometers of the epicenter, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Again, are we being given a covert warning from the science community? A community that has so far, as I stated, completely betrayed the human race and the web of life by helping to hide the environmental modification weapons of mass destruction that are being wielded by the power structure with the entire fate of life on Earth in the balance. Now, on to the tale of those who have unfortunately chosen to serve the military-industrial complex empire. This is a report from the NewRepublic.com. Donald Trump is no friend to veterans. Not that any former administration has been a friend to veterans either. I'm simply dealing with the current administration here. Why do so many sign up to serve the empire when they are so brutally treated in the end? From this report, his hiring freeze has had an impact on former service members who make up 1/3 of the federal workforce. President Donald Trump loves veterans, or at least that's what he would have us believe. You're amazing people, he stated. Great people, he stated. He told the retired American Warriors Pack last October. Quote, our veterans in many cases are being treated worse than illegal immigrants, people that come into this our country illegally, he said, Trump, last September. Honor their valor, his foundation's website still insists. Trump is certainly aware that no American politician can win office without appealing to veterans. But his commitment to this constituency has always been dubious. Trump received 5 deferments to avoid going to Vietnam. How many know that? Here's a quote from the report, a quote from a former veteran. I think Donald Trump has never seen veterans as anything more than the backdrop for a publicity stunt or a photo op. That's what it's all about. It's all propaganda. Look at the propagandistic commercials we face on all the mainstream media channels that are pushing for more recruits for the empire. Why are so many so willing to be so blind as to the true reality of what happens to veterans once their service to the empire is done. Here's another headline from military.com. Elderly vets face benefit cut under Trump budget. Is that any surprise? All administrations are, in the end, serving only those behind the curtain, only those in power. Our veterans are nothing more than cannon fodder for those. Has anything changed? Are our military veterans being treated any better now than in the past? Or is the now completely out-of-control U.S. military-industrial complex just carrying out business as usual? They prey on the poor, the struggling segments of society, with their unimaginably, again, propagandistic recruiting commercials that promise them the world for serving the empire, and then throw the vets to the wind once they're no longer able to serve the empire. Consider this report that outlines just how long our veterans have been conned by our so-called government. Title of this report, America has been screwing over its veterans since the Revolutionary War. Listen carefully to this report because it details what most people don't know and don't want to know, or they stop blindly waving their flags around and pretending it isn't happening. Jackie Kilby, an archives technician at the National Archives, was perusing old letters to the U.S. State Department when a name caught her eye. Caleb Brewster, a key member of George Washington's Culper spy ring, recently made famous by the AMC show Turn, the Long Island Sailor Revolutionary's 1792 letter to President Washington recounted how on December 7, 1782, 5 years into his service, he'd led a battle against three British ships near Fairfield, Connecticut. During the encounter, Brewster took a musket ball to the chest, an injury noted in Washington's own journal. 3 months later, the partially recovered Brewster led another attack on a British vessel, aggravating his wound. He was incapacitated, confined 2 years and a half under distressing surgical operations, a most forlorn hope of cure, a quote from him, as he put it in his letter. The injury sustained in the service of the very foundation of America had left him with a long-term disability. The point of this report that I'm going to continue through is that nothing has changed. Nothing. Not the treatment of our veterans by the empire that they served, or the willful blindness of the population that continues to blindly wave their flags and pretend that veterans are treated fairly and honestly. And why are they serving the empire to begin with, especially now, when it's not about freedom and democracy around the globe, it's about the pursuit of resources to keep the military-industrial juggernaut of insanity proliferating and expanding until there's nothing left of the planet. That's the course we're on. That's what military service is about now. It's not about freedom and democracy. How clear could that be for anyone who chooses to objectively examine the facts? Continuing with this report, because it outlines so much of what's happening today and so much of our history that we are never told. The rest of Brewster's story would be frustratingly similar and familiar to veterans born 2 centuries later, i.e. now. The Continental Congress had guaranteed disabled soldiers disability benefits in 1776, but when Brewster went to New York, states were supposed to pay claims, by the way, it wouldn't pay up. Neither would Connecticut, where he'd also lived and served. In 1789, the newly established U.S. Congress took the responsibility for paying claims, so Brewster petitioned them, and in 1790, they explicitly granted him back pay on his claims and half pay for life, but the Treasury refused to settle his account. In other words, he got nothing. So Brewster beseeched President Washington personally to help him receive the benefits promised to him. It took the president's intervention in 1792, 9 years after Brewster suffered his injuries, for the U.S. to settle up, the same as today. We hear these stories constantly. Continuing from the report, what he described, it really made me realize that not much has changed, end quote, says Kilby, who published her research on Brewster's case on the National Archives blog recently. Kilby saw resonances between Brewster's case and challenges her father, a Vietnam Army vet exposed to Agent Orange, and brother, a Marine Corps Reserve lifer who did two tours in Iraq, have faced, trying to claim benefits America promised them. Report continues, America has a long history of publicly venerating its veterans, but an arguably longer history of failing them. As the Veterans Affairs legal historian James Ridgway tells us, quote, people are much more familiar with the rhetoric around the way we wish we treated veterans rather than the decisions that we actually make, end quote. That's a problem, as failing to recognize historic failures prevents us from fully contextualizing our modern systems and actually realizing our pro-veteran rhetoric. And that's all it is rhetoric. Blind flag-waving that is not grounded in any source of any sense of reality. None. The report continues, if Brewster really did get his payout, he was one of the lucky Revolutionary veterans. There were around 250,000 soldiers who fought in that war, by some estimates, but only about 3,000 drew a pension in the early years of the Republic. Kilby believes this was because the country was flat broke at the time. By the time it was able to fund disability claims, many in dire need had sold their papers to speculators for pennies. However, studies, including one from Ridgway himself, indicate that many benefits were promised to soldiers mainly to recruit soldiers and to keep them from deserting. Benefits to soldiers were only paid out grudgingly by politicians with a public that had no particular allegiance to vets. Isn't that exactly what we have now? This was 200 plus years ago. Isn't this exactly what we have now? The public has really no particular allegiance to vets. How many vets do we see standing out on the street corner begging for food? And for those who drive by them in their nice new cars with their trunk full of Costco food stocks, and they refuse to even look at these poor vets, I can't do it. I've never, ever been able to drive by any of these people. I try to give them everything I can. And many people convince themselves that that vet on the corner, or whoever that homeless person might be, but often, so often they're vets, that if they just chose to, they could live in a nice McMansion with a new car. That's not reality. And people who have that sort of callous opinion because they've been a little more fortunate in their lives, materially at least, it's not spiritually fortunate when you have such a delusional view of the world that I believe all will answer for at some point. But to drive by a person in such need and convince yourself that they could have more if they simply wanted to, and you base that opinion from total ignorance, never having heard their stories. I've heard their stories. As I've stated in previous broadcasts, I volunteered in a homeless shelter for 3 years. I heard many of these stories, and it could have been me or you or any of us in their shoes. How do we know what another person has endured unless we've stood in their shoes? I can't begin to imagine what some vets have been through, and that's why I force myself to watch films like Winter Soldier, the Iraqi version and the Vietnam version, and other such documentaries. Hidden Wars of Desert Storm, the documentary by Gerard Ungerman, a personal friend, a French filmmaker, who made an award-winning documentary. I encourage anybody to look that up online. Look up Hidden Wars of Desert Storm. And on the eve of the second Iraq war in Reading, when there was a candlelight vigil on the Diesel Horse Bridge, I attended that vigil with two huge cases of brand new commercial VHS copies of Hidden Wars of Desert Storm. And I handed them out to everyone who would take them while I was being photographed from undercover police, apparently because they felt I was a traitor for trying to share an award-winning, internationally award-winning documentary about how our troops were treated in Iraq in the first Gulf War when depleted uranium was used that contaminated and killed them, contaminating entire portions of the planet forever. And because I was handing those films out, I was being photographed from every direction by spineless, cowardly, undercover government workers who are all too willing to try to intimidate the population on behalf of the empire, to try to hide the truth. I handed out 200 copies that day, 200 commercial copies. I don't know if there was any reaction from the population, if the flag-waving so-called concerned citizens actually did anything with the information they were given, but they were sure given it. And that's the sort of treatment we get if we truly focus on what our veterans are being exposed to. I brought Dennis Kine, a military Marine medic, from a family of soldiers. I brought him to Reading twice. I paid for him to come to Reading twice to speak about the horrors of depleted uranium used in our own ammunition by our own government without disclosing this to our troops, killing countless troops, subjecting countless others to a lifetime of agony. I brought him to Reading twice to speak, and few attended those events. Even the so-called patriotic didn't show up because they would rather have their patriotism remain blind. That feels better to them. And that's not patriotism at all. That's tyranny. That's cowardice and tyranny. And that's what we have. And that's why I'm covering this story from 200 years ago, 200 plus years ago, because nothing has changed. And why do our sons and daughters continue to be willing to serve the military? And why aren't their parents, why aren't others around them telling them what they're signing up for? Why don't we tell them? Because we want to blindly belong to the herd? I'll repeat a quote from Mr. Twain that I know all too well by heart. I've stated it before in a program, but it's appropriate here. In the beginning of change, the patriot is brave and scarce, hated and scorned. But in the end, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. Everyone should think about that quote. If you're being intimidated by those around you for speaking the truth, don't let their lack of courage deter your calling of conscience. Don't let that happen. Because if you do, we have nothing left. The only thing we own is our will. The only thing any of us own is our will. And if we fail to exercise that correctly, morally, honorably, we've lost everything. Material wealth means nothing. And very soon, that point will be so clear to so many who thought that they had stored up something for themselves for some long retirement with golf games and football parties and whatever else they planned on. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Now is when we decide why we're here. Why? I want to continue with this report. In the decades and centuries since, the country's attitudes toward veterans shifted from war to war. According to Ridgway and others, these shifts depended on how politically powerful vets were. After the Civil War, when vets made up 5% of the population and were well represented in politics, veterans' spending made up about a fifth of the national budget. But after World War I, when vets made up a smaller and less visible slice of America, their benefits took a hit. By 1932, veterans were so unhappy about their service bonuses issued in 1924, but unredeemable for two decades. Two decades. And this is the official funding process, that they weren't to get anything for two decades. Vets were so unhappy that they descended en masse on Washington, which succeeded in scuppering Herbert Hoover's reelection bid, but didn't achieve much for the vets. The vets being used as cannon fodder again and again. Report continues. Ridgway argues that most people's conceptions of veterans' benefits stem from the comprehensive system developed after World War II, under which vets were given pensions and disability payments, money for education, and other goodies. But historically, these were the exception, not the norm. Even the most famous post-World War II benefit bill, the GI Bill, was not an unqualified success, as black veterans were prevented from realizing many of its perks. Mass prejudice, even that recently, mass prejudice, in a country that claims to stand for freedom and democracy for all, a blatant lie. The report continues, the current scandal over long wait times and failures of the Department of Veterans Affairs, especially in its hospital systems, has angered many Americans, and Donald Trump's promises to take care of veterans helped him rise to prominence during the 2016 Republican primary. But from a historical perspective, these problems are unfortunately not unprecedented. Continuing from the report, Trump's aggressive positioning of himself as a, quote, savior for ignored vets in light of these scandals was unusual in its shamelessness. One veterans group even publicly said it would refuse money from his campaign. But that sort of grandstanding, which can reduce vets to political props, is a long bipartisan tradition. An honest attempt to get the benefits to veterans that they deserve would start with the recognition that the recent scandals are just the latest chapter in a long, tortured history, with failures and short-sightedness often stacking on top of each other. Dan Nagin, an expert in vets issues at Harvard, points out that one of the VA's current struggles is that it's evaluating benefits claims based on legally enshrined World War I-era conception of disability that has trouble processing modern understanding of mental health issues or other complex medical problems. Many experts don't blame VA bureaucrats for the current crop of problems, but instead pointed to institutional failures like chronic underfunding and understaffing that require a major overhaul to address. Stand back for just a minute and look at this entire picture. The military personnel are being left completely out in the cold. Promises not kept. They're being horribly abused. And we have a population that's willing to ignore that, while at the same time willing to support the military-industrial complex and their continued push to build even more weapons of mass destruction while the planet is imploding around us. It's a circus of total insanity. That's what we're swimming in, a circus of insanity. And with no other population more than the American population, we have, unfortunately, a majority that are still willing to blindly support that insanity so long as their personal paradigm is allowed to continue. That's cowardice, absolute cowardice. Report continues. As long as we remain ignorant of the origins of the processes that we have today, says Ridgway, we will fail in the easy trap of demonizing and blaming people who do their best to make it work. That lazy mental shortcut harms not only public servants who are doing their best, but also veterans who would benefit from a 21st century system. Continuing from the report, despite Trump's promises, he has done very little for vets so far in his administration. While legislatures have introduced dozens of veterans-related bills in Congress, they have not prioritized vets' issues thus far either. Some of those bills are well-intentioned, says Schaefer, but will be ineffectual, and some of them may just be empty shows of support for veterans offering little in the way of substance. And the shrinking proportion of vets within the populations means that while they're still a key voting bloc that's constantly praised by politicians, if history is any guide, they'll have less and less political power in coming years. Final paragraph from this report. Brewster, a Revolutionary War soldier, was cheated out of his promised benefits by an ill-provisioned system. Just like Brewster, modern veterans find themselves pushed to fight far harder than they ought to for those things supposedly guaranteed to them by our government. But given what has been reported about Mr. Trump's reading habits and communication habits, they, the veterans, probably shouldn't emulate Brewster and write passionately argued letters. Maybe our veterans should consider tweeting Trump with a chart, as if that would get them anywhere. I previously mentioned a 40-year-old headline from the Washington Post, but bear with me. I'm trying to weave some important dots together here, and here's the headline. This is further into the rabbit hole, because the poor treatment of our veterans is only the tip of the proverbial iceberg. It gets far, far worse. Here's the headline. Consider this, and how much has happened since this headline was published 40 years ago. Army conducted 239 secret open-air germ warfare tests. Is the ongoing climate engineering operations in our skies any different than this? No. It's the same and worse. Not only are the elements being used above our heads highly toxic, and we know that from lab tests from around the globe. We know this. Aluminum, barium, strontium, heavy metals, polymer fibers. But what other types of experimentation are they doing over our heads every single day? And how naive would any of us be if we believed this wasn't going on? From this report, the Army disclosed yesterday, this is 40 years old, by the way, again, but it matters, it has relevancy, disclosed that it secretly conducted 239 germ warfare tests in open air between 1949 and 1969, according to a two-volume report the Army gave to the Senate Health Subcommittee, which was to learn how to wage biological warfare. Washington was one of five cities. This is Washington, D.C. was one of five cities where the Army released simulated lethal germs in public places. What is a simulated lethal germ? Are we really to think that they did something that was harmless? Continuing from the report, other cities where the public served as unknowing guinea pigs were New York, San Francisco, Key West, Panama City, Florida. The Army listed 27 times that it tested simulated, quote, simulated toxins on the public and on public property, including releasing spores in tunnels on a stretch of the Pennsylvania Turnpike. No regard for morality or human life. None. None. That's our military-industrial complex from the time of George Washington till now. They don't care. In addition to those experiments in public places, the Army secretly used military personnel and their families for open-air experiments by spraying germs into the air at a number of bases, including Fort Detrick, Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and the Marine Training School at Quantico, Virginia. Practicing, experimenting, germ warfare, experimenting on not only military personnel, but their families as well. Historical fact. Continuing from this report, the Army said in its report that the tests were, quote, essential to substantiate theories and fill knowledge gaps and to determine vulnerability to attack. The live bacteria in the Army employed were deemed harmless at the time. We thought it wouldn't hurt. Really? Who would believe that? So, on top of the veterans' reports, which I just gave, which are tragic enough, add this, and how many of our vets were affected by this sort of illegal and unimaginably immoral biological warfare being conducted on them by our own government and then left to fend for themselves once they were permanently damaged. Business as usual. Why would anybody join this sort of insanity? Why? Continuing from the report, the Army report said testing of biological warfare agents rose sharply after May 6, 1961, when then-Defense Secretary Robert S. McNamara ordered the Joint Chiefs of Staff to evaluate the potentialities of both biological and chemical warfare, considering all possibilities and all applications. Mr. McNamara, who was part of the false flag that killed 60,000 of our sons and daughters in Vietnam and millions of civilians. That's the kind of people that we have in our government today. Final statement from this report. McNamara accepted the Joint Chiefs' recommendations as modified by Brown's office, the report said, and a detailed chemical and biological warfare program was laid down. Quote, overall, the report continued, continuing with the quote, the project resulted in large increases in U.S. Army biological warfare programs. How much worse is it today? This was 40 years ago and nothing has changed. And now we have global atmospheric spraying programs going on over our heads every single day that's contaminated virtually the entire web of life already. There's no organic anything on our planet. Climate engineering, which is biological warfare, which is weather warfare, is the greatest and most immediate threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. A few more headlines to back up those I just read. Mustard gas tested on soldiers via involuntary gas chambers. Another headline. Deadly chemical sprays on American cities conducted by the U.S. military. Another headline. U.S. infects Guatemalans with STD, sexually transmitted diseases. U.S. did that on purpose. Another headline. Human experiments to test the effects of the atomic bomb. Another headline, injecting prisoners with Agent Orange conducted by the U.S. military. Another headline, Operation Paperclip from that report. While the Nuremberg trials were being conducted and the ethics and rights of humanity were under investigation, the U.S. government was secretly taking Nazi scientists and giving them American identities. That's the kind of insanity we live in. Another headline, infecting Puerto Rico with cancer. In 1931, Dr. Cornelius Rhodes, was sponsored by the Rockefeller Institute to conduct experiments in Puerto Rico. He, Dr. Rhodes, infected Puerto Rican citizens with cancer cells, presumably to study the effects. Another headline, Pentagon treats black cancer patients with extreme radiation. Another headline, fallout radiation on unsuspecting Pacific territories. From that report, after unleashing hell upon Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the United States embarked on numerous thermonuclear bomb tests in the Pacific. How many want to forget those things? And a final headline along this category. Tuskegee, Alabama. The recent uncovering of the U.S. exposing, this is an old report obviously, but still valid. The recent uncovering of the U.S. exposing of Guatemalans to syphilis brings back to mind this infamous study. In between 1932 And 1972, researchers recruited 400 black sharecroppers in Tuskegee, Alabama, to study the natural progression of syphilis. What a sick, twisted world we live in, run by the military-industrial complex with a population that's all too happy to go along, again, so long as their personal paradigm is not disturbed. And for those who have broken out of that paradigm, that have been willing to face and acknowledge their responsibility to the whole, I salute you. I salute you for your courage and your willingness to be a part of the solution and no longer a part of the problem. The story goes on and on and on. This is simply business as usual when the criminally insane are in high positions of power and control. Those who control the empire don't give a damn about the men and women who serve the empire. They never have, and they never will. Yet, how many continue to blindly wave their flags in total support of the empire? And consider this. If the power structure masquerading as our government treats its own military with the complete contempt that I've described in these reports, are we to believe the power structure cares about the population as a whole? It's far past time to wake up. The U.S. population is not only expendable to the power structure, the population is a rapidly increasing liability to the criminally insane who currently wield power on this planet. How many I hear from asking this question, how could things have gotten this bad? How is it that the human race has allowed things to get this bad? Because the vast majority, most especially again in first world nations, have been well trained to focus only on their personal pursuits. The vast majority have unfortunately been well trained to blindly support the official narratives of blatant lies and propaganda. The vast majority have unfortunately been well trained to shun and ridicule anyone and everyone who dares to face the truth and speak to it. Of all the atrocities I've just reported on, again, the ongoing atmospheric aerosol spraying operations are the greatest threat of all. At any point in time of its choosing, those in power could make lethal the already highly toxic climate engineering elements that they are dispersing in our skies day in and day out. And if you don't believe those who wield power would do something so desperate, you're not living in reality. Not only is the human race in a state of free fall toward mathematical certain near-term extinction on the current course, our species may take down the entire web of life with us. Near-term does not mean in millennia or in centuries, but in less than a decade. Mathematically, again, this conclusion is not based on theory, speculation, or conjecture, but on mathematically calculated trajectories built around current rates of mass die-off, biosphere implosion, and ecosystem collapse. Without adequate habitat, without a functional atmosphere and a functional climate system on our planet, the story ends. The age of man, known as the Anthropocene era, will be over. What do we do? How can we collectively alter the current course? How can our collective efforts alter the current course? And I hope everyone is listening to what I'm about to say, because so many seem never to hear this part of the what we can do equation. None of us are helpless. We're not powerless, and those in power are absolutely not invincible. All of us can and must help with the critical battle to alter the current course of our species. All of us must ask ourselves what our priorities are. We must ask ourselves what our responsibilities are to the whole, to our children, to the web of life. We must ask ourselves, do we own our own lives, or do we owe our lives to the whole, to the greater good? Why are we here? If not to fight for the future of our children and the entire web of life, on which our children's lives completely depend, by the way. If not for that, then what? Then why? Profound questions at a very profound time in the waning hours of human history. We are headed for the wall, make no mistake about that. Make your voice heard. share credible and compelling data from a credible source, start spot fires of awareness with those around you, and ask them to do the same. We must reach a critical mass of awareness in the population, or we'll have no chance of fully exposing and halting the noose of insanity that's being pulled ever tighter around our collective necks. Credible activist awareness raising materials can be found on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. These materials include free downloadable links so that the materials can be printed by anyone, anywhere. Help us to sound the alarm. Make your voice heard. Resolve yourself to join the battle for the greater good. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.